This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 212. New for 2011, it's the Chevrolet Dion! This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
I'm Pandalicious.
And we have with us a very special guest this week.
I hope I'm not too special. That could be offensive in the wrong area.
No, you're special in the good way.
Okay, cool.
Not in
all, always a special are special.
Just right. A little bit special.
But not that kind of special.
Okay.
But we're joined by Xenocore from Ultimate Quest with us this week. So we have a very fun show to get into. But before we can do the fun stuff, we do have to do the business stuff. So make sure that you're visiting us on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, or even just questions for us, email us at our new email address, mailbag@landofesh.com. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, then go there and click the big button that says subscribe.
That's right. If you do that, then every single week, as soon as we put out our new episodes of the podcast, they'll be delivered to your iDevice and or iTunes and or iWhatever, and you can enjoy it in its glory. No hour limit, no editings, just pure unadulterated eshness in your ear hole. So get it.
And if you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But be looking out for great shows that come out of the ESH camp, too.
That's right. We're not the only thing that exists in the land of Esh. So get new episodes of our podcast each Monday, nice and fresh. And follow that up on Tuesday with a new episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. And then on Wednesday, you can top it off with an episode of Geek Aggro. You can find out all the information about all the shows and get your nerd on all the way to Hump Day by visiting landofesh.com and grabbing a hold of all those awesome things. But you can also check out the random things that we write during the week on all of our websites, which also just co-happen to exist in one space on the landofesh.com. Or you can check us out, the entire ESH team, which seems to be growing by leaps and numbers these days, on Twitter. You can interact with our stuff that we put out on the YouTube channel as well as the Facebook group. Join so we can get our URL. I really want to get my owns. Because I like to be that way. I'm just saying. So there's awesome stuff going on. Interact with us. We love hearing from you. We like doing stuff with you. Because we like to be with people. We're
people.
So with that, all the business is done. Probably ought to get to the show. Panda, what do you got for the people?
I just got a few small blurbs, really. We already know how much I've been digging the Netflix
recently. I thought you were going to say Amazon, because you're really on the Amazon jock.
Yeah, but I haven't bought anything new this week.
You haven't bought anything new?
Yep, oh. I said that on purpose.
Okay.
I have not purchased anything new this week, so I haven't had to use Amazon.
Oh.
And we already know that I really am on a Netflix bonanza.
You are pretty much just a Netflix whore right now.
As of right now, yeah.
Right.
I mean, I've been waiting forever for my Netflix disc for the PS3 to come so that I could watch it on the big screen TV downstairs with Esh Mom.
Oh, did it finally come in?
It finally arrived after where the hell is this disc? And, you know, I knew it was going to be a different setup than instantly from my Xbox, which I was like, okay, I can deal with that. I'm like, oh, I'll just put it in. It will download, and I'll be all set. No.
Uh-oh.
That's not how it works for the PS3.
You sound less than pleased.
I am less than pleased. So the Sony has it in their mind that it's okay to always have something in your slot.
Oh, my God. If I had a dollar.
Yeah. And pretty much the disc, you have to put it in. Obviously, you have to sync it to the Netflix account that you already have. And anytime you want to watch something streaming, you got to put the disc in the PS3.
So you can't load the actual
software. I know they're going to turn it into, you know, they're going to change that so that it will just be streaming from your console. But as of right now, you have to actually have a disc.
So you have to have that running whenever
in your console to instantly stream things to your PS3.
Oh, that's awesome. That won't lead to drive fatigue or anything like that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm surprised it took them this long to do it.
So, I mean, I'm like, all right, I'll deal. You know, and the setup is completely different than it is on the 360. And it's painstaking to look at. Like, it's not visually pleasing. You're flicking. You're like, God, there's no easy way to get to a particular, a particular genre of movie.
So, do they try to emulate the crossbar look and feel for navigation?
Like, on top of it, because you know the colors for Netflix, you know, the white, the red, and black. And then the upper top of your screen, it's this white bar, and it has, you know, like, your genres. So you have to flick your joystick over to flick to which one you want, and then it will show you pictures of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to directional down and then flick through those. So it's really not very...
It's repetitive flicking?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, granted, so it's the same way on the 360, but there's something about the way that they have the page set up that doesn't make it seem so...
Repetitive?
Yeah. And I was just like, I really don't even want to look at this. I'm like, I'd rather just go on the website and just click multiple things and then go to my instant queue and be done. And it's just blech.
Okay, so the browsing experience pretty much sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, as far as setting up a queue beforehand, does that make the experience, you know, equal or at least on par with what you've been doing on the Xbox and on the computer? Or
not really. I mean, I already have, like, I'm still, you know, working. Like, my instant queue I have pretty set up now. And I did all that, obviously, on my computer. And it's a lot easier to go through my instant queue on the Xbox. It's just easier on the Xbox.
Period. The whole experience.
It is. And I really think that if Sony is smart, when they go and they, you know, make Netflix, you know, instantly available on the console as opposed to the stupid-ass disc, that they might just copy the same layout that Xbox has because it's...
No, they can't do that because then everybody will get on their jock for, you know, just... copying what the Xbox is already doing.
But it's easier on the eye. It's easier to navigate. It's better to look at. I don't understand why it couldn't be a setup from Netflix as opposed to each console having their own different layout. Like, it seems like that would have been the best way to go about that.
Well, let me ask you this question, you know, because you've got Netflix on the Xbox 360, you now have Netflix on the PS3, and you have access to it on your computer. Do you really find that you need access to it in all those places, or would you really just prefer to have one great Netflix point of entry and experience?
Well, in all honesty, the only reason why I even got it for the PS3 is I've changed positions of consoles.
Right.
Now that my new Xbox has the wireless ability, so I didn't have, you know, my Xbox is now upstairs in my room. So, I mean, I only got Netflix for downstairs so that if there's something instantly streaming that Eshmom would want to watch with me, that I'd have that option and not have to bring my Xbox down, rehook it up, make sure it's attached, you know, to the router.
Why not just hook your computer up to the TV?
Because my computer is a private...
Eshmom doesn't need to see
half the shit I have on my computer. Not that she doesn't.
Yeah, she's got to hide her prawn.
Don't you know how to put those in file folders?
I do.
Your prawn should not be on your desktop.
It's not. I mean, I don't have any. But I'm just saying.
That shit goes on the external drive that you don't carry around with you.
More or less.
Well, everybody knows that.
But regardless, my computer is my personal space. That Eshmom, I want Eshmom to be nowhere near.
I see.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm giving her the Blu-ray player in my PS3, essentially. That's why that's downstairs. So she's got the Blu-ray player.
Right.
But just in case there was something streaming, you know, off the cuff that we want to watch, I wanted to have it available, you know, so in the main interacting room.
Right. Well, let me ask you a question. Since that disc is spinning all the time, do you notice any noise?
No, it's really clear. It's just I'm just really annoyed. Like, I really thought that they send out the disc, it was something downloaded, and then you send the disc back, but you don't. So I misunderstood what the disc was.
Well, it's basically very similar to the Netflix system as far as how it's done on the Wii, because it's that's exactly how it works on the Wii, is that, you know, they send you a disc and then you have to run the disc. You know, it's not a channel that you can have on the Wii. You have to run the disc all the time in order to enable, you know, the streaming and of content. And so I'm just kind of curious to see that, you know, of the two models that were available to Sony to look at when getting ready to implement Netflix, because let's face it, they were the last ones to the party on this thing, you know, that they looked at Nintendo's model and they looked at the Microsoft model and decided that the Nintendo model for some reason was better.
I'd like to know why, because it's not.
Well, if it's everything depends on the disc, it's definitely more secure.
But it's not even their content, though.
Well, understandable, but it's also tied to your Netflix account. So if you go passing the disc around, I believe it takes your identity and stuff with it. So if you pop that disc into another machine, I wouldn't be surprised if you could access your stuff without any configuration.
Huh.
I don't know if I would even try it.
But yeah, I'm no expert, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Maybe.
Well, that's some bull.
Because you have to order it from your login on the website.
Yeah, when you sync it, it syncs to your instant queue and stuff like that, yeah.
With no configuration, so yeah.
Oh, that's lame sauce.
But I mean, mm-hmm. So Netflix on the PS, like if you still haven't jumped on the Netflix plane, you might, if you have an Xbox, yield to the Xbox side of things. It's really nothing to woof at on the PS3 side. I mean, that's one of the big things I've been doing recently. And since I've gotten Netflix, I have exposed myself to more anime, which I think I mentioned several episodes before. And me and Eshmom looked through the streaming selection, and sadly the selection is still kind of lacking unless you go through the website. There's a lot more going on the website in terms of anime than than instantly streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked up an anime that, I mean, my preference of anime kind of varies. It depends on what mood I'm in. And I had seen this anime at Best Buy, thought about buying it, and I'm really kind of glad that I didn't.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You sound less than pleased with this, too.
I am. This is a very
This is a very less than pleased day for you.
For me, yes. So the anime is called Le Portrait de Petite Cosette, and it's got a very pale German-esque looking goth Lolita girl on the cover. Very pretty.
What? You're not sold just on that?
I know.
Because that's kind of your thing.
I know, which is really surprising. So, I mean, popping it in right away, I mean, it's very visually awkward.
Okay.
Like, the pacing, it's an OVA, by the way.
Okay.
An original animation version, I think. So it hasn't been altered, it hasn't been changed. It's the original concept of the story without any,
Americanizing.
Meddling.
Yeah that too. So, I mean, there's no cheat sheet on how to figure this out. It never got tampered with. Or, you know, placed at the scene of the crime. It wasn't planted. It's its original
form.
It just is.
As it always was.
And they drop you in the middle of this story, and you meet this protagonist, and his name is Erie, and he is an art student. And he's talking to his boys at a coffee shop, because, you know, that's what art students do. They go to coffee shops.
Right.
Talk.
Right.
And, you know, one of his friends had asked out this really hot girl, and she kind of blew him off, and they're all like, yeah, well, you had no chance with that. And Aerie's not really paying attention, and one of his friends was like, dude, Aerie's totally in love. And he's like, yeah, I have been for like a week. And everyone's like, what? You know, like, what's going on? And, you know, you find out that he works in this antique shop, and you see him leaving the coffee shop, and he's think he's talking about someone. We don't know who it is yet, because of course not going to tell us everything right away.
Why do that? That would spoil like the fun of the next 3 minutes.
And I mean, he gets to the antique shop, and he pulls out this glass, like it's like a champagne flute or like a wine glass. I want to say it's a wine glass because champagne flutes are really thin.
Does it look like a goblet?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's a wine glass, right?
Mm-hmm. Can be.
And the rim of it is all like rainbow colored.
Okay.
So like, and he sits there and he puts it down and he's talking to it like it's a person. So I'm like, does he have a glass fetish or something? What the
Which heck? Would also be the type of anime that's up your alley.
Not glass. But anyway. And he sits down and you start seeing glimpses of this girl in this glass. You know, and she's like living. Like you see flashes of her life in this glass and he's trying to figure out what the deal is. And he's like, why am I seeing this? It doesn't make any sense. Well, no duh. If I was staring at a wine glass and I saw some chick bouncing a ball, I'd be like, what drugs am I on? But he never even goes there. He's just like, this is amazing. I think I'm in love with this girl. And he knows nothing about her.
Yeah. Nothing. If I saw a girl in a glass.
I'd hit that glass because it's haunted.
I would leave the room and I would call the bomb squad to take care of the glass. Because either something's wrong with me or something's terribly wrong with my apartment.
The store. It's his job.
Oh, okay.
That he's at. But anyway.
Still, terribly wrong. Not terribly exciting.
So, I mean, he fondles the glass, and there's these chicks who work at all the stores in the mall area that he works at. Mm-hmm. And they all kind of want his job man meat really bad. And they really didn't, you know, try to, you know, simmer down on that. They really played that up. I mean, you know, there's a tarot reader who, like, rents part of the space of the antique shop to do her reading, so she's always around. There's like a fruit lady who's always like, grab my melons. And
I'm sorry.
They're just always up his butt.
Really? Grab my melons?
Well, sort of. She's always bringing fruit to him, like peaches and pears, and, you know, it's weird. You know, and they're all kind of like, we love him, blah, blah, blah. You know, and one in particular really wants him, like, wants his jock bad. Like, she really just should sit on his lap and be done with it. And she really doesn't speak to him either, which makes it even that much more interesting. Not really.
Okay.
But one night he's leaving the store and he puts the glass, like, he puts this glass in this drawer with all these soft pillows and stuff because he doesn't want it to break. And as he's leaving, he's like, and I'll see you tomorrow. And as he leaves, he hears this voice say, don't go. You know, and I'm just like, yep, and that's when I would have continued to walk through the door,
exactly.
Shut off the light, uh-huh. And run home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, he's enamored with this glass, and you find out later on, and mind you, it's only 3 episodes, so they have to give us a whole story in 3 episodes, which means everything gets rushed, and all the interpretation stuff is, like, thrown out the window, because unless you see it 4 or 5 times, and even then, I wouldn't say you'd get it all. You know, so this girl from this glass, like, materializes, and I'm air quoting here,
okay. To him,
and flashes him to her home in this glass. And you see him take out this huge knife, and he literally guts her. Like, guts her out.
Okay.
And, like, he's got no control over it. And obviously, I'm watching this with Esh Mom, so she's like, why did he do that?
And you're like, I don't know.
And, yeah. So, you know, and flashes back, you know, to the fact that she's, like, mangled on this floor. And he's, like, preaching his love to her. And I'm like, you just gutted her like a fish that you're going to eat for dinner, swearing that you'll love her forever. I'm like, okay. I'm
like, he didn't even pull out a sword or nothing?
Like, no, he had, like, a knife in his hand. Like, it's like one of those projection things where you get projected into the middle of something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in most movies, like, if someone, like, the trick of this anime is he's incorporated the soul of this murderer who killed her. So okay. that's why he did it. I think it was, like, a projection. Like, at the time, in her time, when this happened to her, it was her actual love who did it. And since he's got that soul, he's going through the motions,
mm-hmm.
sort of.
So you know, he's reliving her memory of her dying.
Yeah. You know, and as that happens, all of a sudden his body bursts open with blood and guts. And I'm like, why? No one's touched him. I don't get it. you know, and she's just like, I need to find someone who would be willing to die for me, you know, and him being a dumb fuck was like, I'll do it, you know, so at Chalice that, you know, he's been like putting his man meat into, you know, fills with her blood, and she's like, you need to drink this to solidify this pact, otherwise you can't help me. So without asking the terms of the help, without reading
you gotta read the fine print, people. Don't sign anything, drink anybody's blood, or anything like that until you read the bottom line.
Yeah, he didn't do it. He just, the floating glass was like, drink me, and he said, okay, and he drank it.
Boys are dumb.
So, I mean,
why are they so dumb in anime?
I don't get it, but... Anyway, so then she starts showing up, like, in reality, wearing normal clothes because she was, you know, in, like, Lolita laces and black and all that jazz. And when she appears to him in the normal day, she's just wearing a simple black dress, which, okay, I'm glad that she dresses appropriate. You know, and she's like, I have these three objects, okay, and they're pretty pissed that you killed me in a past life. So to atone for the shit that you did, you know, like, killed me and my family and then set my house on fire... These three things are coming to kill you. And I'm not going to stop them, per se, but I'm going to help you deal with the pain that they're going to inflict on you. So he's like, wait a minute. I said I would help, but I have to bleed? Like, I have to be in pain to help? And she's like, you need to atone for what you did in the past. So, I mean, that's the first episode. Second episode, he's trying to come to terms with this past life that he doesn't have any recollection of.
Right, because it wasn't him.
It's him, but it's not him.
Uh-huh.
You know, and like I said, he was an artist. Keep that in mind. So her past lover was this great Italian artist. And this artist was so enamored with what she looked like. Now, mind you, she's young. Like, I'd say she's probably no older than 10.
Okay.
I'd even say she's 9.
Oh, here we go. Pedophilia.
Exactly. And this
man. You have pedophilia.
And he painted all these portraits of Cosette. You know, and they're all very beautiful. You know, she's very pale. Her hair is very blonde. I mean, they're beautiful pictures. Uh-huh, you know, and Gary is like re-looking at them. And he notices that he starts to sketch her. Like, he's like, she's real... You know, and his pictures look so different. Like, they're the same style that the original artist had. But he's like, my pictures don't look anything like him, and I'm supposed to be him. So, I mean, he's trying to understand, you know, what his linkage is, really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's just like, I really wish that you wouldn't draw me. I really hate it. You know, and she, you know, and he kind of points out that in all of her pictures, you can see her love for him in the picture.
Uh-huh.
And he distorts her a bit. And you find out that the original artist killed her because she was growing up. And she was ruining her beauty.
Oh.
Yeah, age does that.
Yeah.
And he's like, you just keep changing. And I've captured you and you're most beautiful and you're changing on me. And I'm going to preserve your beauty for the rest of my life. And he killed her. And he killed her parents because they obviously wouldn't want him killing their daughter. So that's why he did it. You know, so...
Because he's crazy.
And he likes little girls.
Uh-huh.
And that's why Cosette doesn't like her pictures being drawn. And, you know, in the third episode, this is where things get really fucked up because...
Really?
Because
they're not yet.
No, like, they're not fucked up already.
No. But, I mean, this is just par, you know, run-of-the-mill anime stuff.
Oh, man. I mean, mind you, at the end of these each two episodes, one of her objects appears and fucks him up really bad. Like, he has this huge scar halfway down his body because literally it implants itself in him and then she has to rip it out. So, like, he's just a big bloody mess by episode 3 and he's kind of insane by that point.
No!
I completely understand why that would happen.
But let's see. The girl from the glass from the past that made me drink her blood... Now just ripping me to shreds on a regular basis so I can atone for killing her in the past in my through my soul that I now have, but I'm in love with her, so I do it.
Yeah.
That wouldn't drive me crazy at all. No, I'd be fine.
Oh, man, he goes insane. So, you know,
reincarnation sucks.
Yeah. So glad that I haven't
Sometimes you should really wish to come back as The Rock.
So, I mean, By the third episode, it's really funny because in the first two, she's like, you have no, you know, like every time he gets possessed, he gets like tied up like Jesus on a cross.
Oh,
and
awesome.
She literally has to cut into him to get the object out because, like I said, it goes into him. No, in the first two episodes, she's like, you have no right to fight me. So just stay there and take it, and it'll be over soon. But, you know, this, you know, she from the beginning knew that he would most likely die from this.
No.
And by the third episode, she's like, but he's the man that I love. I don't want him to die. So she like.
Well, I'm glad that she learned that pretty quickly.
She learned it by the last episode. You know, and she realizes that she needs to remove herself from her life, so she stops appearing to him. And, of course, this drives him even more insane because he's kind of already been mutilated a lot, and he was ready to go through with that. And then all of a sudden, she just stops showing up, and he gets transported somehow. I'm trying to remember how it was. It was through one of the objects to the world again. You know, and he's hanging there ready to get ripped up, and she never shows up. And he's kind of like, you know, we're almost done. Like, we're here, we should get it over with now, and, you know, and this other her shows up, though he doesn't realize it's a different her, and she's like, I'm not going to make you do this anymore, you know, and we can just stay here forever. We can stay in this area where the living and the dead can stay together forever. It's called a coma. He's in a coma.
Of course he's in a coma,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and blunt force trauma to the body does that to a person.
Yeah, so he's like in this realm of a coma, and you know, and she's like, and for being such a good sport, you know, Yeah, pretty much. She's like, I'll let you do anything you want. Now, mind you, she's laying all, you know, sexfully.
Oh, come on!
I know, but wait,
I'm predicting another ending.
I'm really surprised that he didn't just mount her and get it over with. But he was like, I want to paint you. So she creates this area that she'll sit for him, you know, and he's drawing her, and none of them look right to him because the style looks more like the original artist and not him anymore, you know. And he gets up and she sees all these scattered pictures and like, they're all lovely. Why won't you finish them? And she's like, you know, why don't you tell me you love me? You went through all this stuff. Why won't you tell me? And you know, he's kind of like, because you're not my Cosette. You're the Cosette that my past self created, and I refuse to love you. So, of course, then she's all, oh, fuck no. You're going to love me because you created me. I am your creation. I'm the most beautiful. The real Cosette was a liar the minute she changed. I am what, you know, I mean, like, it kind of got weird.
No, it got weird.
It got weird in episode one. I'm not even going to lie to you. You know, and he, you know, he's bleeding now. She's, you know, cutting him open. She's trying to get him to, you know, just accept her and reject the real Cosette, who was sleeping in this, like, deteriorating castle, which they never really explain why she has it. But, okay.
Why do that? Let's just focus on the pedophilia.
Why not? You know, and the illusion takes him to this artist's sitting area, like, in this world. He had, like, this area with all these pictures of her that he had drawn and painted, you know. And he gets there, and there's this big canvas, and there's an easel, and you know, that thing that you put the palette that you put the paint on, but there's no paint, you know. And he takes this other side of the brush and stabs himself, sort of.
Okay.
And he uses his blood to paint this picture. And it's really creepy.
No.
Yeah, it's creepy. You know,
this artist has drank too many mocha frappuccinos, in my person. Something in the mocha frappuccino. Maybe he's eating that one coffee that gets brewed by, what is it, like ferrets that eat the coffee beans, whatever, and they poop them out later or something. You need to stay off that coffee.
From the bucket list.
Yeah.
I don't even want
to
know.
You have to watch the bucket list.
I'm just going
to
let that go. All right. I don't. Already confused enough.
Oh, yeah. It's not one for everybody. It's not really one for anyone. Really. But, you know, he ends up painting this picture in this world of Cosette, and his picture, it's him, it's his style, and she looks happy, and it's a warmer picture. Well, I mean, it was painted in blood.
Because it was painting with blood that's usually typically at least 98.8 degrees.
So, I mean, yeah. But anyway, somehow by drawing that picture, it makes all the pictures that the original artist drew, like, burn in flames, and then the illusion burns into flames. You know, and he feels himself waking up.
from his coma. Uh-huh.
But before he does that, he takes this blood-drawn picture because he magically finds the castle that his princess is in.
With don't they always? Don't
yeah, always I hope he leaves her in there.
Yeah, he doesn't. She's like asleep. But he hangs it above where she's sleeping because, I mean, she is dead, so like that's her eternal rest. Mm-hmm. And he hangs the picture that he drew with his heart, not the original artist's heart, and hangs it above her, and that's how the series ends. You don't see him wake up. You don't see him go back to art school. That's it. You see the picture. You see her, like, sleeping, and the end. So there's no...
All right, so that's the worst anime that you've ever talked about.
And
congratulations!
I'm surprised I got... I mean, I'm kind of glad it was only 3 episodes, because I don't know if I could have handled more than that. Ash Mom at that point was like, I want to watch something happy. And I couldn't blame her at all. So I'm not going to say this anime sucks, because there's a lot of talented people who drew this. There's a lot of effort behind it.
I don't want to say that it's a complete waste of time and space, because people use time and space to do it. Yeah. But what I do want to say is, no.
I'm glad I didn't buy it.
So it's not a buy?
It's not a buy.
Is it?
I mean, unless you are a gothic,
Lolita pedophiliac loving so-and-so.
Artist.
Artist.
And this is not for you.
Uh-huh.
If you spend 3/4 of your weekend happy, don't watch this. I mean, yeah, just don't watch it.
All right, so avoid it like the plague.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want some, like at first when I saw the title, I was like, oh, a French title. Maybe it will be like Le Chevalier d'Eon. It might be really, no, not really. Not
did you say the Chevrolet?
As the Chevalier d'Eon? I don't say it right.
Oh, don't say Chevrolet.
The Chevrolet d'Eon. Rum, rum.
That thing got a Hemi.
It's got a Hemi.
Regardless, it's not. Yeah. It's not
Chevalier d'Eon. No. No, not even close. No.
That just summed up every foreign French film I could ever think of. One character says, but I love you. And the woman turns around and slaps him. And that's pretty much what this whole thing's about.
Yeah, I love you. Okay, great. Bleed for me.
Yeah, literally. Like, there are just random scenes where there was just blood. I'm like, okay. I'm like, is this what gothic Lolita people do? They dress in black and stab each other? It sounds like what happens in New York. So why? What?
Well, what? I mean, New York is Gotham, so.
I mean, so that was pretty upsetting.
And you shared that experience with Eshmom.
I did, and I regret it almost as much.
Eshmom is brave.
I regret this more than watching Le Blue Girl with Mom.
Yeah, that I do.
This comes up there on the list of things I'm wish I had never watched with Mom.
I mean, just wow.
Literally. Wow. Go on the letter note.
Mom.
She did. I had nothing to do with it. I heard about it later.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Okay. Right.
But then let me round off my segment with something really light. So okay, on Netflix.
Because you need a happy place.
I do. I gotta get out of it. So on Netflix earlier today, I decided to check out like watching TV series because I work a lot, so I'm not home during times.
That's
where
right, you got a job.
Yeah. So I'm not home when a lot of series, you know, new episodes are airing because I usually get in right afterwards.
Right.
So I don't get the chance to really delve into a series the way I used to when I didn't have a job. Mm-hmm. So I picked a short one. It's only got 6 episodes in the first season, and it's called The It Crowd. The IT crowd.
Oh my God. You just now discovered the IT
crowd? I just discovered the IT crowd. I know it's been around for like 4 years now.
Yes.
Eons.
Yeah.
It's been around, but recently, as of this morning, watched it, and I am
well.
So,
welcome to nerddom. I'm so glad that you finally made it.
I love it. I was rolling in my seats this morning up until pretty much now. I actually watched the last episode of like maybe 30 minutes ago, and I was just like, "Where have I been? Where? Like, I where?
Break it down for people.
So, if you're a nerd, and
even if you're not a nerd,
even if you're not, you'll get a lot of crowds. So we see our I don't even know if we can really consider the protagonist. She is in the first episode.
Not really.
Well, which version did you watch? Because supposedly they're bringing
the BBC one. They were all British. Well, one of them sounded more Irish than British, but I think it was the BBC version.
Yeah, it is.
And you see this woman, her name is Jen, and she just, you know, joins this company. And the boss guy is hilarious. And he's sizing her up, like, with this long, hard stare, which he tells her he's going to do. You know, and there's, like, all this dead air, so you're kind of like, tension. I would never want someone to do this to me. And he's like, well, I noticed on your CCP or whatever they use to applications over there that you're really great with computers, so I'm going to send you to IT. So she's like, well, I'm great at getting email and sending email and mice. I'm really good with mice clicking, double clicking. I'm great at all that, you know, because you can tell that she knows jack shit about computers. So he's like taking her to the elevator and they're up on like, I don't know what floor they're on, but they're on like a really top floor. And she's like, oh, I love this view. I feel like I'm somebody now. And he puts her in the elevator and ships her to the basement of the building. So everything she was striving for has obviously just been stripped from her. And the basement is dirty. It's filled with all broken computer parts. And there are these two dudes there. And one of them is like the grungy, I just happen to know stuff guy. You know, and he's sitting at his desk and the phone's ringing and he's just not picking it up. And this is the running gag in the whole series, which I didn't realize it was going to be a running gag until episode 2, obviously. And he picks up the phone and he's like, IT, did you try turning it off and on again? Is it plugged in? Okay, then. So, I mean, it's always a running gag. There's always something, someone calling and asking that. It's never anything beyond that, which I think is hilarious. Because I think a lot of people's problems with their computers is possibly it needs to reboot or it's been unplugged.
Yeah.
If you only knew. Because okay, now do this professionally. Yes, if you only knew.
The best license plate that I've ever seen in the state of Virginia simply said RTFM. I don't know who owns this vehicle, but I understand your pain and I have love for you.
I don't know what that means.
Read the fucking manual.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, they're all pretty much vignettes of them accepting her as their manager because she's, like, the manager of the IT department, though they don't really allow her to call herself that. And it's her getting used to them, them getting used to her, and then them trying to be recognized for what they do for the company. You know, and I mean, it just never works. Girls don't really appreciate the Irish guy because he's always trying to get laid. And the other ultra nerd is really kind of odd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, he's just odd. He gets hot ear. He sprays himself with like mist on this ear because it burns.
This is what we would call a dork.
Oh, yeah. Yes. He's completely a dork.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's just really funny. Like it cleansed my palate, per se, in my mind.
It will definitely take you to a happy place after watching what you did.
Like, yeah, exactly. And for the record, it's not shit on my forehead, it's chocolate. That was probably my favorite episode. I know, you know, you probably haven't watched it yet, but the Irish guy goes on a date with this chick and there's this smudge on his forehead and he's like a white guy and it looks like shit. So she's really kind of the date's kind of like, yeah, well, you don't need to walk me to my door. I'm just going to go. And, you know, she goes and tells the whole company that he had shit on his head. You know, so of course, everyone's kind of like, you know, laughing it off. It's a big joke. And he's like, it's not shit. It was chocolate. Even his mother finds out and she calls him at work and kind of nags at him for it. And his manager lady has this crush on this security guy. And at the very end of the whole episode, she's making fun of the Irish guy. And she comes out of her office with chocolate spread on her forehead, you know, and the security guy shows up and sees it on her forehead. And she's like, it's not shit. It's chocolate spread. And she wipes it off her forehead and she starts eating it. And it looks really gross. So it's really just, it's just funny. And it's totally, I mean, if I could buy it, I would totally buy these 6 episodes. But why when I can get it free on Netflix?
Yeah, and not to mention, they have, although there is an unaired pilot, it's all over YouTube. you know, with Joy McHale and Rocky Carroll being the suit, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They've around the 30th of July in The Guardian, it's been said that the U.S. version is back on for production.
It is.
Yes, and they've been encouraged to write their own stuff and not just stick hardcore to the script the way it is, because, you know, British humor doesn't always transfer well over.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, plays don't do well on TV over here. So.
No.
Oh, it was just, it was good. It was very good. And I'm really glad that I saw it. I'm really glad that I took the chance. I heard some people over at All Games talking about it, and I'm like, I wonder what they mean. And then I saw it and said, I'll watch it. And I am so happy that I did it. So thank you, Netflix. And thank you, All Games Chatters, for that, because I couldn't be happier with that.
Oh, no, the IT Crowd is awesome.
Oh, it was the best.
It's, so, I mean, it's a definite great pick-me-up at any point in time that you need one. You will laugh. You will laugh, and you might pee yourself just a little. But don't leave just a little.
So that's me. That's my segment. So I saw I'm upset about Netflix. I was really upset with Le Portrait des Petits Cossettes.
The eye rape that you went through.
I did.
And survived.
This was pretty bad.
I feel like I need to.
Black Dahlia I watched a couple of years ago. Like, this was really bad.
Okay, Black Dahlia, that was just fucked up. And it was fucked up because part of what happened was true. The actual murder. But then everything else after that was all their made up idea shit. And that was just even more fucked up. And that was just wrong. And Josh Hartnett, it hurts my soul that you were wrapped up in that travesty.
We're sorry. Not that we had any say in that.
Yeah, we're just really sorry.
But that's me. So that was my crap. Oh, my God, my eyes. Oh, my soul has been revived. That has been my weekend.
Yay.
That's all I had for everybody.
So, IT Crowd saves.
Yep. Like Jesus.
Kind of like Jesus.
More like Raptor Jesus.
Right. Yeah, with a British.
What about you guys? What do you guys have for everybody?
Zeno, you're up.
All righty. Well, I got a couple things, just a couple nods, and one main thing, of course, being Alien Swarm. But recently, as I was going around in Oklahoma City, I came across an old copy and operational copy of Escape from the Planet of Robot Monsters. Does anybody remember this from the arcades?
Mm-mm.
This piece of jewel that's been festering away in a corner, never to be seen again, that deserves to be republished in every platform on the planet. I had so much fun with this game. It was ridiculous. I think I found my niche. Not so much the MMO thing, the online gaming, old school arcade games. I just get happy as a schoolboy and I throw 40 quarters at this thing without even thinking about it.
Yay.
And now that I'm a little bit more versed in how games are designed, I can see what's going on under the scenes. Like, I get little inklings here and there and realize exactly how dastardly this game truly was. It's when you get to the last boss and it tells you, all right, we're pausing the game for just a moment. Put all the tokens in now that you're going to get, because you will not get a second chance. And it locks down the ability to add tokens to the game once you get to the final boss.
Oh, that's
it's like,
not cool.
That's brilliant. I love that. It's so painful. And not to mention there's like four or five of them you have to go through. And I bet you if you actually did beat the game, it wouldn't let you play out the rest of those extra men that you happen to purchase. It would probably just say, game over, sacrifice it to the gaming gods. You got to see the ending of this game.
I bet you it's true.
I bet you it's true. I hope it is, because that'd be awesome. You know, I miss games like that. Like, never. Oh, continue forever? No, you get three continues, three men. If you don't do it in nine dudes, you don't get the CD ending. Period. Done.
Go home and try.
Exactly. Yeah. Work.
Go home and cry to your mommy, you stinky little kniggit. You know, that type of stuff. You know, I miss games that abuse their players. But anyway, talking about games that abuse their players, Alien Swarm. This, I'm surprised half the people I ask about it haven't played it, especially when they're PC gamers. Because this game is free. F-R-E-E, that spells free.
I like that word. It's a good word.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that word too.
Yeah, free is excellent. But especially since I would have paid $10 for this game, to tell you the truth. It's actually worth it. The playthrough I got for it is truly something else. You know, all you have all these games where you just run around with squads and shoot things away, you know, Left 4 Dead and stuff like that. This is the first game that makes me feel like I'm truly in the bug hunting game.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So you pretty much they took the plot of Aliens and gamed it. You know, literally as far as how, what's going through. You land. Oh, too many bugs all over the place. We're going to blow the place up. So you go to the reactor. You set it to blow. And you run for the dickens through the ending, which is pretty much all 10 levels that they designed. Up to anywhere between 2 to 4 players for online play. They do let you play by yourself, but it's only a training mission for level 1. So you can, like, test things out here and there. And it's pretty much a tactical game. So you do have to pay attention to what your squad mates are doing. If you get separated, there's a good chance you're not coming back from the mission. So similar to Left 4 Dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was originally a mod made for Unreal Tournament 2004, built by Black Cat Games. But Valve acquired them, and they've been working on Left 4 Dead and everything else in the meantime. And they finally released an updated source version of the game. They also released the game code and mod tools for this, so you can make all the levels you want if you're a modder, which is kind of cool. Yeah, so they only released 10 missions, but just from playing that, you can see how much flexibility it has because it uses the same exact assets that Source uses. So if you're already familiar with making maps for Source, you could easily make maps for this since it's a locked-down, third-person, isometric shooter.
Okay.
All right, so you're camera hovering from above. You have 3 other squaddies, of course, full voice chat and everything else when Steam is functional. And I'm, in my opinion, required because Lord knows if you turn the difficulty up on this stuff, you're fighting for days. Next thing you know, you're out of ammo and you're all by yourself. You know, standard team plays type stuff.
Right.
You do unlock items by gaining levels. So you don't just have to sit there with your M16 or the auto gun. You know, you can get a Gatling gun, a taser, you know, a rail gun that shoots through multiple bugs at once. I always like that one. That's my favorite. You know, and you can go hand to gland with them, too. So if they get too close, you can just put a fist in their face and break them.
That's always nice because I prefer that approach.
And they give you a power fist later so you can do it with the big bugs, too. So
yay!
I like, never mind.
Stop it.
I stopped.
I didn't say it. That's another podcast.
There's 4 classes and 2 characters for each class, so 8 total. And they change their stats up a little bit here and there. It doesn't really matter too much as far as – because usually once you're in the action, you're too busy worried about just shooting stuff. You're not really worried about their stats themselves. Also, they all carry additional items such as, you know, reloads, healing weapons, automatic turrets that you can set down that do run out of ammunition, which is good. And, you know, welding doors open and shut. Literally, it's the Aliens movie redone into a game. It's excellent. Has full achievements and matchmaking.
Free?
Yeah, and it's free.
This confuses me.
Yes, it's like, why isn't everybody playing this? After you play through it the first time, it's mainly just a replay horse game after that. I mean, you can turn on the difficulty from easy, normal, hard, and insane. Which, of course, gives you bonuses for the harder difficulties for your character to level. Mm-hmm. But the bugs get that much thicker. They take that many more bullets. And with all the different styles of bugs in there, you really have to be good to beat it. Just on hard alone, I can't make it through the 3rd mission. I need a really good team. Of course, how much fun you have with this game is going to depend on who you're playing with. So you get a crappy team, you're all going to die. You know, by the time you get up to like level 7 or where there's infester bugs that will damage you internally, sort of like chest bursters. And if you do not have a medic there ready to heal you, they will kill you and spawn more right on top of the rest of your squad. So, teamwork is essential in this game. Not to mention they added the small mini games for the techs for hacking doors. You actually have to do pathways and stuff and trace them. So that's actually kind of cool. So a lot of thought went into this game. I really like it.
And you're sure it's free?
Yes.
Because this is the first I'm hearing of it.
You're on a computer, right? Do you have Steam?
I have.
Have Steam on it?
I don't have Steam on this machine.
For shame.
Panda has it.
But anyway, go to Steam, look up Alien Swarm, download it, play it, enjoy, you know.
All right.
It. It's a lot of fun. But
I like Steam.
But don't get frustrated. It does take some getting used to because you're using the mouse cursor to shoot, but you don't see the cursor. All you see is maybe the laser light from your gun and a reticle in case something is above or below you to hit it and make sure all your shots go there. You have to put the reticle over your target instead of just pointing in its general direction. So it takes a getting used to, but okay. once you're used to it, it's a hell of a lot of fun. I enjoyed playing it so much.
Well, cool. All
right, mm-hmm. then I will give that a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have Steam on my Mac, mostly because I don't game on this machine because it's a production machine.
Mm-hmm.
I have a machine that I game on, which is a Velocity Micro machine, but I haven't turned that on in, like, forever. Because I've just been playing so many other things on my Xbox and on my PS3 that I haven't had time to go back to my computer gaming stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they haven't tried to do a port of this. Since they already have Team Fortress 2 on, you know, the 360 and such.
And it sounds like it would be a great, you know, experience for port, especially, you know, since it's got the ability for, you know, multiplayer and it's got, you know, team chat support. Like, it sounds prime for port.
Yeah, I mean, since Team Fortress 2 is already working, I mean, I guess because that's actually on disk, and I don't think that's downloadable yet. If it was downloadable, it'd say, oh, just borrow the assets from this game and use it.
I don't think that the orange box is downloadable yet. Yeah, I think that's still on disk.
Yeah, that's a shame. The old console gamer, you don't know what you're missing.
Hey, you know what? You go with what you know. I started on consoles, man.
Hey, me too. I started on Atari 2600. You don't talk to me about that.
I had a television that fell off the back of a truck, but it's all good. My dad knew people. We'll just leave it at that. I fucking love Burger Time. Anyway, sounds good. And so if you don't, it's on Steam, people. You heard what the man said. And it's free.
Mm-hmm.
So you should cop that, especially because it's free.
Most definitely.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Free is the way to be.
Free, in fact, is the way to typically be, except with love and or STDs, because you don't want to share those. Those you keep to yourself. My turn. Okay, so I'm going to keep it real simple. Rock Band 3. I know, you're probably going to get tired of me talking about it, but damn it, I keep getting excited because they keep making me fucking excited, okay? The Pro Guitar, I was like, all right, so there'll be strings and I'll pluck strings. But then I saw it, both Mad Cat's guitar and Rock Band, the harmonic's actual guitar, which is just, in fact, an electric guitar that just happens to work through your Xbox on the game and can also work as a guitar. I was like, ah! I'm so excited. And I don't even play guitar, but I want to. So
Well, this is going to be an easy way for you to go and learn.
It's the excuse that I needed. So then they're like, but we're not done. Pro drum. So you can learn to drum. And I'm like, squee! Because, hey, I like to play my fake drums. Like,
yeah, but that's not new. They did that with the first Rock Band. It's if you want to learn to play drum, just play a Rock Band.
No, they did drum, but not pro drum. Okay, they didn't have initially support for cymbals, and they didn't have cymbal support that were actually going to be in the right place and trigger the right sounds in games.
Mm-hmm.
Pro Drum is actually going to do that, as well as outside of the drum trainer, actually have, just like with Pro Guitar, a learn to play drum, learn to do fills that's a little bit deeper than what they did in Rock Band 2.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more fleshed out in this game. But then they throw the fucking keyboard in, and they're like, oh yeah, and Pro Keyboard too. And you're like, what the? Like, and if you already have a MIDI keyboard, you can just plug that in and use that instead.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah! I literally almost peed myself a little bit. I'm getting excited. And then last week, they go, okay, well, you know what? You guys want to know about it, especially because the game's coming out in October. So we probably ought to tell you that we have a song list that's, you know, official now that we can share. And then I had to actually excuse myself and go to the bathroom and pee. Because in addition to the existing Rock Band 2 content that you have, so just like you were able to bring Rock Band 1 content into Rock Band 2, you'll be able to bring your Rock Band 2 content into Rock Band 3. And in Rock Band 3, your existing Rock Band 2 and 1 content is now going to be joined by Jane's Addiction with Ben Caught Stealing. Du Hast by Rammstein.
Nice.
Okay.
This is the part that sprockets when we dance. Yeah.
Do you want to touch my monkey? Love him. Pet him.
Lasso by Phoenix, which right now is one of my more favorite, you know, bands. Besides, when you call yourself Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix, you set the bar, really, for yourself and deliver. So I'm happy about that. Tokyo Hotel with Humanoid, which is one of my favorite Tokyo Hotel songs. Rehab by Amy Winehouse. Okay, so that's going to be pretty much the song that I lead off with at every drunken party that I go to. I'm really excited about that. But there are other things. Whip It by Devo is in there. In a Big Country by Big Country is in there. Centerfold by the Jill Giles Band is in there. I Need You Tonight by INXS is in there. And there's some Devo in there, including Rainbow in the Dark. Okay. There's Def Leppard in there.
Which Def Leppard?
I think it's Foolin' is the one that's going to be on disc. But you know, if there's
Photograph, I will squeeze.
You know there's going to be more Def Leppard. There's not just going to be a Def Leppard song.
And Photograph. There has to be.
All right, it's not just going to be about the one. But let's talk about one right now that was the one that I kind of had to back away from my email. Sister Christian by Night Ranger. Holy shit. Done. Like, I'm done. Like, that is...
Wait, hold a minute. Is Don't Tell Me You Love Me in there already?
No.
Fail!
But that doesn't mean that it won't be DLC. Mm. Let's face it. They're making bank off of all the DLC content. So you know they're going to put enough on disc to make you be like, oh, it's potty time. And then they're going to be like, oh, and by the way, here's how you keep the potty going. This is how you keep the party going. Okay, because I got Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears in there. You know that's not the only Tears for Fears song that's going to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, we know this. 25 or 6 to 4 by Chicago. First of all, I'm surprised that it's going to be in a rock band because we all know what the song's about. It doesn't say what it's about, but we know what it's about. And I say this to the gamers of a particular age because some of the younger kids, they don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, we know what it's about. Zeno's with me. He knows what we're talking about. Okay, but it's
What's
on
it about?
It's about cocaine. Smoke on the Water by Deep Purple. It's in there.
But
wait. Yeah,
that one's going to be an easy song.
Okay.
But it's water. There's no crack in water.
No. 25 or 6 to 4.
Oh.
We'll talk after show. I'll explain. You know what? Google it. You'll be good. Radar Love by Golden Earring is in there. Imagine by John Lennon is in there. Lowrider by War. Yeah, it's in there. It's in there. Space Odyssey by David Bowie. It's in there. So really, like, all I need is for them to put Hold the Line by Toto in there, and it'll be the best 80s game ever. Because, like, every single song I grew up listening to, plus, you know, some stuff that, like, you probably did, Panda, is in there. You know, there's some more Paramore in this one. There's some Flaming Lips on disc. Combat Baby by Metric is going to be on disc. I think them Crooked Vultures have...
Nice!
I think Dear Friend... Yeah, it's Dear Friends is going to be on disc in there. Faith No More's Midlife Crisis is going to be on disc. Beautiful People by Marilyn Manson is going to be on disc. I think I mentioned that Primus was going to be on disc with Jerry Was a Race Car Driver. Which,
I love that song.
Which is just a great song. So, I mean, it's really gearing up to be a great experience. And when you factor in pro guitar, pro keyboard, pro drum for many of these songs, it opens up all kinds of things. I mean, there's a fucking Elton John song in there. Yeah, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting is in there. Okay, so not only do you get the sing stuff that we all know, but it basically becomes like ultimate karaoke. Okay, like the penultimate karaoke. Get some people over, whether they can really play or not. Now it's a level playing field. Because if you really play drums, then you can play the damn song on pro drum and show everybody up. So that all the people who play instruments are like, yeah, I can't play this fucking game because, you know, I play real drums. This is not regular drums. Shut the fuck up. Put it on pro drum. Just drink your beer. Don't spill it on my rug and shut the fuck up. The rest of us are going to have a good time. And I'm going to sing Here I Go Again by Whitesnake. But without Tawny Katane doing, you know, things on the hood of a car.
Tricks. She does tricks.
She was special. She was limber. She's very limber in that video.
But well, as long as I can get drunk and do my British punk voice when I'm singing vocals, that's all I really care about.
Yeah. So, you know, I had had a conversation a while ago with some people, and we were talking about music games, and, you know, pretty much the thought was, you know, have they really kind of shot their wad? Are they on their way out? You know, you look at the consolidation that's happened, and you're left on the playing field now with Activision pretty much saying, look, it's going to be Guitar Hero, and we learned our lesson, so we're going to go back to the basics with Guitar Hero and DJ Hero, and that's it. That's all we're going to do. No more Band Hero, no more of this other stuff, because we learned our lesson. We're really, really sorry. Like, our bad. Seriously, please keep buying our stuff. We're just going to stick with these two. And, you know, SingStar, which kind of does its own thing. And then you've got Harmonix, which, as far as I'm concerned, is pretty much leading the field. Like, Konami's game, which I can't even remember what the hell it was called.
But Guitar Freaks?
Whatever. I don't even know.
No, I mean, they did have in the arcade, they did have this full setup. At one time, you could link Keyboard Hero, you could link Guitar Freaks, and you could link Drum Mania together and have all the units linked to play the same parts. But that's only been done once. And, you know, you had to invest so much money in the arcade machines to get them all in one spot, let alone keep them up and running. Because I can imagine how hard that the maintenance on that Keyboard Mania game would have been.
Oh, it would have been just ludicrous.
Yeah. So this is the first time all of that's been brought back home, especially with them adding support for MIDI keyboards. But what about the bass? Are they releasing a bass?
So there's no word particularly yet on Pro Bass, but I imagine that they will. I mean, because the closest that you have right now was that bass that Mad Catz did that had the split strum. Mm-hmm. And so I imagine that you would be able to have a Pro Bass. I don't think it's one that they're going to do yet. They've been really mum. And, you know, if they were going to announce a new peripheral right before launch, I imagine that would have to happen a little bit closer in September. It's kind of like, you know, a one more thing. We got Pro Bass 2. Or they just can't make it work because, you know, they still haven't enlisted yet what the pricing is going to be for the Harmonix Pro Guitar. The pricing for the Mad Catz one is out there and on Mad Catz's site, but they still haven't announced what that guitar is going to be. And since it really, in essence, is just an electric guitar that also has the brains in it to talk to an Xbox, I can't imagine that's going to be cheap.
No, yeah. I can imagine just a MIDI output, a guitar with a MIDI interface on it is pretty much all they really need.
You know,
that equipment already exists. It's just getting it in a low-cost form for home use.
Right. You know, and so, I mean, you look at the guitar, and it's stunning, and it's a Strat. So I'm like, there's no way that that thing by itself, like, I'm going to go out on the limb here, and I'm going to say they're going to make that guitar, and they're probably going to have a guitar and a game bundle, and that sucker's going to set you back minimum $300.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum. You know, because that cannot be a cheap thing to make. You know, because I saw the guitar when I was at E3 in the case, and it just looked like a regular Fender Strat. And it was just only at the side that you noticed, oh shit, there's the power on button for the Xbox.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's mainly one of the, you know, their entry-level stuff, the Starcaster, because it physically it's exactly the same as a Strat, just Strat's got better parts. But, yeah, that with an amp is $140 for a real guitar. So I wouldn't figure it'd be too much different from that price point.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's not going to be, you know, a simple, small investment if you're going to do it. And, you know, like they usually do, there's going to have to be a whole kit and caboodle bundle that'll bundle the drum and now the drum with 3 cymbal support, keyboard, and guitar. I mean, that can't be a cheap thing. But what you can do on the back end is be like, hey, parents, your kid can learn to play.
I know.
They're taking the music out of schools.
To college on a music scholarship.
Like, they're taking the music out of schools. You can bring it back into your house and make it fun for your kid.
Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't even have to march in the band.
You know, for me, I look at it and I'm just like, man, I don't know what Activision is going to do to keep up on the Guitar Hero side. The DJ Hero side's looking straight. Now, DJ Hero, I've said before, I absolutely love. There's some things about it that, you know, I thought shit the bed, like how you actually have to get into multiplayer, kind of online, kind of sucks. Ugh. Getting a hold of download content, because you have to do it outside of the game, sucks. Ugh. Supposedly they're working on that. Two turntables, microphone now. So now you'll have the ability to have somebody pop in, do some vocal stuff if they want to, pop back out, all in game without losing a beat, which is nice, okay? But a couple of things for the DJ Hero. California Love.
Tupac.
Yep. Hmm. Planet Rock. Afrika Bambaataa and the Soul Sonic Force.
That's
I'm sold right there.
I could stamp on that one.
Ding. Done. I'm good. Like, you don't even have to tell me anything else, but you can. Put your hands where my eyes can see. Busta Rhymes. Gonna be in there. Yep. Good Times and the Freak by Chic. Gonna be in there. Okay. Chameleon Air with Raiden. Gonna be all up in it. Okay. Some David Guetta, as we all know, because he was at the Activision party. Woohoo. Dead Mouse. Both Ghosts and Stuff and the Dead Mouse Cascade I Remember song. All up in there. Groove Is in the Heart by D-Light. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
I'm having memories now.
Bad Girls by Donna Summer. So there's definitely more dance being represented because they're going back, getting a little disco in there. Okay. Flo Rida's in there with Low. Gorilla's Most Def thing, Steelo, gonna be in there. Okay. The Message by Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five is in there. Axel F, the theme to all of the pretty much Eddie Murphy's best series of movies ever.
Mm-hmm.
Period. It's in there. Jump Around, House of Pain. Yeah, it's in there too, just in case.
Yeah, something just for the bastards, I bet.
Yep, 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 yep. Probably. Nasty by Janet Jackson. It's all up in there. Yep, yep. So, you know, there's some good stuff in there. They've already made the announcement about the Lady Gaga stuff that's in there. Get Your Freak On by Missy Elliott's in there. Bounce, which is the Mastercraft and Nori song, is in there. OPP by Naughty by Nature's in there. I have no idea what that's going to be mixed with, but I'll take it. Blue Monday by New Order's in there. Jam On It by New Clues is in there.
That means we can go skating.
That means we can skate to this shit. Oh, yeah. It's a Saturday. just saying. Just making me. It makes me really excited. Push It by Salt and Pepper's in there. Chain Gang by Sam Cooke is in there. So I have no idea what they plan on mixing that with. There's a couple of Sean Paul songs in there. Informer by Snow is in there.
I love that song.
Yes. Yep.
It brings out the Jamaican in me.
It brings out the Jamaican in everybody.
No, it really brings out the Jamaican in me.
Crystal Method, B.I.G., Talib Kweli, Prodigy, Firestarter, by the way, from Prodigy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Timbaland's in there with Drake. Warren G's Regulate's in there. A Fifth of Beethoven is in there, for Christ's sake. I'm done. Like, this is going to be a great holiday for music games. So if you like them, you're in for a treat, but you're going to be broke as shit. Because neither DJ Hero nor Rock Band 3 is playing. They're both putting their dicks on the table and basically saying, whose do you think is bigger?
That one.
I'm going to go with that one. But only by like a quarter of an inch. So that's all I got. I'm just really excited because I am a huge music game freak, as you all know, and this is gonna be fun. Because the mixes, they're gonna have to be ridiculous.
Mm.
You know, you look at the sources, and you know, so many of them are at, at just ridiculous speeds compared to the others that, you know, I'm curious to see how they're going to be mixed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what's really interesting is that Activision right now on their Facebook group is doing a contest where they're actually going to be awarding prizes to people, which will include, you know, download codes for DLC after the game comes out. I believe that they're actually going to give away a whole package SKU to one lucky person. So somebody's going to walk away with two turntables, a mic, and a copy of the game, and then some various breakouts from that. And basically what they're doing is they're playing a clip of a mix and then asking people to identify which songs and artists they think were in that mix. And if you get it right, you get a prize. So it's really cool because they're drumming up all of this interest, and they're also giving everybody just a sneak taste.
They went all remote control on them.
Just a little.
Remote control. Uh-oh, my age.
No, that's okay. I was right there with you. That was, it was like one of the only things I could stand to watch on MTV, even at that point. But it was totally worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what I got. Music games, who's got the bigger dick?
They do.
You're going to have to decide, but I'm going with that one.
Yeah, me too, that one.
Like a quarter inch.
Well, don't ask me to pick.
Yeah, we won't ask you to pick. No, we'll pick. You. We'll do that choice. So that's what I got. I'm going to have to tell you right now, if you want to hear more, you're going to have to visit us online, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or even just questions for us, you can email us at our new email bag, mailbag@landofash.com. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, I don't even think I should say the rest because you should already know what you should do.
Subscribe. Click the button. That way you'll get every single episode of our podcast in its entirety, unedited, unfiltered, just raw ash in your face. Technically in your ear, though.
In your ear holes.
Ear holes. Just do it. You'll thank yourself. And if not,
then you can plug us into your any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But make sure that you are checking out the other sites and shows too.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that exists in the Land of Ash. So make sure that you're checking out some of the other great shows coming out of our camp, like Boston Bash Brigade. Our episodes of new podcasts go out every single Monday. Then you can follow us up with an episode of theirs on Tuesday. Then, bam, on Hump Day, new episode of the Geek Agro Podcast. So right there, we're filling out all the way to Hump Day. And then to get you through the rest of the week, there's the stuff that we write on all of our respective websites. You can follow us on Twitter, including at ESH News, which is the official ESH News Twitter cast. That's where all the information is going to be at, including links to whatever giveaways we may or may not have. I'm not saying that there is, but you know, you might want to follow that. And Eshmom, we got hers a Twitter. So at ESH_mom, you can now follow our mom on Twitter. Don't worry, we'll be making her tweet more. It's going to happen. So follow her. It'll be fun. It will be. Just trust me. And then, of course, there's our magazine, which is on sale. So visit landofash.com. Learn more about the current issue. Pick it up. There's all kinds of great stuff in there, including an article by Zeno, who's guesting on the show with us today, as well as a lot of other really cool, insightful things from the other team members in Team ESH. So make sure that you're checking it all out because, you know, it's pretty freaking awesome.
Please.
Not even about please. Like, this is a favor for you. We will lighten up your day. You will laugh and
please
nearly pee yourself. Like, just a little though, not a lot, you know.
Yeah, keep your brother employed.
Exactly. You know, so just, so make sure that you're checking out all that great stuff because it's pretty fracking awesome.
Please.
So before we go, I got to ask Panda, what shit are you digging this week?
Netflix.
Why am I not surprised?
Why? Well, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. Netflix. The Microsoft Xbox chat pad, which I had got it, you know.
Oh, so sooner.
Yeah. And the IT crowd.
Good stuff. Good choice.
And waffles.
Okay. All right. Anything else? I mean, you know, are you just going to go through the dictionary?
No. Zebras. Okay, I'm done.
Zeno, what shit are you digging this week?
Well, right now I'm digging Metroidvania games in general. Shadow Complex, Castlevania, all the different Metroids that have ever been released, including the ones on the Game Boy Advance, which I just played through both Zero Mission and Fusion again. I love those
games. Wow.
Yep, that's my stuff. Also, of course, everybody's got to go check out Hero Man, but this whole fall season, there's been a lot of anime with substance for the guys that's been released. So if you guys pay attention to Crunchyroll and other sites like that, you'll see what I'm talking about, and who knows, maybe they'll even be talked about on the show.
Woohoo.
And that's what I got.
All right. So that leaves me. I'm going to have to go with, as far as shit that I'm digging, ginger ale, because it's yummy and it's good in the tummy, and pizza, because let's face it, it is almost the official gamer fuel, really, both in its hot and cold instances.
Well, it's breakfast and lunch, respectively.
And finally, I'm going to have to go with marshmallow fluff, because I still haven't gotten any, but damn it, I want some.
You are just here, dude.
Did we go to a grocery store? Seriously.
No,
we didn't. So how is it going to come flush?
Hey, you guys still owe me candy.
We do owe you candy, don't we?
Candy. It ain't
I didn't think that. Yeah, I'll get on that.
Yeah, your candy payment is late.
Yeah, it's a little...
Repo.
Yeah, you might have to repo my candy. Good luck on that. I think at this point, if I open up that jar, bad things will happen. I'm really kind of scared. Yeah, I think it's time to get new candy. And it's time to say... peace out. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Xenocore.
And we're out of here.
Later, guys.
Be gone. This is the part of S when we dance. I love that skit.